I don't know why we can't. The Lord said it, and somebody said the Lord said it, and the Bible said it, and we believe it, and that makes it so. The Bible said it, and that makes it so, whether you believe it or not. And it's a good thing, too, because most people don't believe it. A lot of people that say they do don't. But I told my wife this morning, she said, I'm so excited about church this morning. I said, I am too, but at the same time, I'm a little bit nervous. And she said, what are you nervous about? I said, because I've got more message than I've got time. We don't go on a timer around here, but I'm probably going to try to this morning a little bit. Be something that you better watch, because you may never see it again. But I am going to try to keep it down to a justifiable length of time. I know I won't get through all this. Maybe the Lord let us finish it up later on. But in the 24th chapter of Genesis, every time I read this chapter, I know there's a message in here, and really, most of the time when I read through this, I say, Lord, where's the message at? A friend of mine preached a message from here one time, and I can't remember for the life of me. I was there when he preached it, and I enjoyed it, but it's been so many years ago, I can't remember it. I've tried to remember, but I can't. So God gave me a message of my own out of here. But Israel, God called Abraham, and he said, get out from among your people and go to a land that I'll show you. And Abraham got out and went, and Abraham had problems. He had trials. He had different things happen to him in his journey. He had two different occasions. He went to a place and told the people that Sarah was his sister, instead of saying she was his wife. And one place he explained that she was his sister. She's my wife, but she's also my sister. We have the same father, I believe, different mother, or maybe the other way around, but they was actually half brother and sister. So he wasn't actually lying about it. He just wasn't, as we say so many times, I ain't going to lie to you, but I'm just not going to tell you the whole truth. Well, sometimes the whole truth and nothing but the truth is a lot better. As a matter of fact, I'd say all the time it is. But here in this 24th chapter, and I ain't going to have time to read all this, so I'm just going to read a few verses and dive in, and you hang on, and we'll see how far we can get this morning with the help of the Lord. But the Bible said in 24th chapter of Genesis, verse number 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his elder servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and swear unto me, saying unto thy seed, I will give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We ask you, dear God, just to bless the scripture reading, bless in the message. Lord, anoint this preacher today, Father, that we may be able to bring this message the way that you've given it to me. Lord, it's such a blessing to be found in this chapter. God, I ask you, Lord, just to bless today. Open up the hearts and minds of understanding. Help us, Father, to just receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the Bible teaches us that Abraham, here in this first verse, he said that Abraham was well stricken in years. He was getting to be an old man, in other words, and he was 100 when Isaac was born, and so now he's ready to take a wife for Isaac, and he's getting on up in years, a lot older than most of us will ever think about living. And so he brought his servant, his eldest servant, and he said to him, go to the land of my kindred and find a wife for Isaac, my son. Now, I want you to realize some things this morning about what's taking place here. To begin with, the journey that this servant had to take for Abraham, it wasn't quick and it wasn't easy. It was a very long journey, and it had a lot of heartache, sure, I'm sure, with it. And there was a lot of things that maybe happened along the way. I don't know, but I did some research, and from what I can figure out, the journey from Canaan to Mesopotamia was somewhere around 400 to 600 miles. Now, you say, well, that's a 200-mile difference. And let me tell you this, from Tennessee to New York City is 600 miles. But if you go from Knoxville, Tennessee to New York City, it's 700 miles. If you go from Memphis, Tennessee to New York City, it's over 1,000 miles. It's all, if you just say from Tennessee to New York, it's 600 miles, that's not exactly true. If you say it's 1,000 miles, that's not true either. It's somewhere between 600 and 1,100 miles. Now, we don't know where in Canaan he left from, and we don't know where in Mesopotamia he wound up at. So there's an estimation of the miles that he traveled to go and retrieve Rebekah for Isaac. And so anyway, this servant, he told Abraham, he said, I'll go and I'll try to get a wife. But now, this servant, he's not as faithful, or he doesn't have the faith that Abraham has. And he said, what if I go and she won't come back with me? Abraham never had any doubt that she would come back with him. But listen, the Bible said that the servant was sent to bring a bride unto Isaac. Now I want to tell you something. This servant that we find of Abraham, he is a representative to me, or he is representative of the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe that Rebekah is representative of the church. And I believe that that Isaac is representative of Christ. And I'll tell you why I say that, because this servant was sent to bring a bride back to Isaac. Jesus said, I got to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll send another comforter. And the Holy Ghost came into this world, and he came to bring me to Jesus. And if he didn't call you, and you came, listen to me, I know the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's more to it than that. You can't build a whole denomination or belief on one verse of Scripture. The Bible also says that Jesus Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father except by me. And then he said in another place, no man cometh to me except my Father draw him. So it takes God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or there's no salvation. And so here this servant is going down to Mesopotamia to draw out a bride for Isaac. And so Rebecca, being the bride, comes back to Isaac, who I think is represented in this case of the of Jesus or of God. This servant went down and he's trying to do what Abraham said. He said, what if she won't come back with me? And Abraham never had any doubt. He said, don't you take a bride from these people in Canaan, and don't you take my son back down there, but you bring him a bride. That's a pretty tall order. And not only that, but he said, put your hand under my thigh and swear to me. Now that was just about as strict a thing as a person could do. In some places they took their shoe off, and they had different things that they did. Here we put our hand on a Bible, or we do other things. But this Abraham made this man swear that he would bring back a bride, but he wouldn't take Isaac back down to that country. So we find that as this man starts on his journey, he took 10 camels and everything that Abraham had. Now Abraham was blessed of God, we find in verse number 2. Abraham, or in verse 1, the Bible said, Abraham's old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. That means there was nothing about Abraham that was not blessed. You know why that God had blessed Abraham like that? Because Abraham just believed what God said. He said, you go get my son a bride, you bring her back here, because God has promised to give this land to my seed. Not that land, not some other land. But this land where we're at belongs to my son and his descendants. And you make sure he stays here, and you go down there and get this bride and bring her back here. Jesus has sent the Holy Ghost to bring us. And I'm glad that he is calling people. But I want to tell you something. The Spirit of God. This servant was concerned that the woman that he went to pick out wouldn't come back with him. And he said, what if she won't come with me? I want to tell you something. Abraham said, well, if she won't come back with you, you're free from this oath. Don't you go do your best. And if nothing happened, don't you worry about it. You're free from this oath that you have taken with me. I'm glad today that when the Holy Spirit of God came to me that night and called my name, I said, yes, I'll go. But you know something? He's calling a whole lot more people than there are answering the call today. So many this morning that the Holy Ghost of God speaks to and says, come. They say, I don't want to come. I'm happy where I'm at, and I'm not going with you. I want to tell you something. If people knew what I know about my precious Savior, they'd be flocking to houses of God all over the world to turn their hearts and lives to Jesus this morning. The Bible said this man expressed his doubt. He said, Abraham, what if she won't come with me? In the 7th verse, the Bible said, and the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. He said, in other words, the angel of God is going before you. He didn't say he's going with you. He didn't say he's following you. He said he's going before you. You know what I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bow down to the king's idol god when the music played. And the Bible tells us that they heated up that old furnace and they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there. Fire was so hot it killed three men on the outside that threw them in. And when the king thought the fire died down enough to look in, he looked and said, "I thought we threw three men in there. Lo, I see four. And the form, the fourth man that I see is like an the Son of God." I want you to know something this morning. The Son of God, or the image of Him, or the angel of the Lord, or whatever it was that the king saw over there, he didn't go in after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He went before them and he was there when they came into that fire. Amen. Abraham said, "My God will send His angel before you, and you will take, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." He never had any doubt. That's the way Abraham was. The angel came and said, "You're going to have a son." He said, "I'm 100 years old. I'm going to be a father." And listen, everything that God said, "Take your only son Isaac upon Mount Moriah and offer him for a sacrifice unto me." And Abraham said, "Okay, Lord." And he just took off. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Abraham had the faith that if he killed Isaac up there, that God would raise him up again. Listen, I'm talking about a man that's name could have been faith. I'm telling you, this man believed whatever God said. That's what he believed. And I'll tell you something, there's not a whole lot of people today that's like that. Most people, whatever God says, that's what they don't believe. And most of the time, and I don't try to make light of people's prayers, but I'll tell you something. So many times we pray and we don't even believe what we're praying for when we're praying. And then we get up and we say, "I don't know why God didn't answer that." Because you didn't have the faith that God would answer that. Is He going to answer all of our prayers? Yes, He will. How will He answer them? Well, now that's a different question. When I was growing up, I'd go ask my dad for something. I remember one time I went and said, "Dad, I want a motorcycle." He said, "No." Well, that was my answer. I didn't get a motorcycle, but I got an answer. I wanted the answer to be yes, but it was no. I mean, he didn't even hesitate when he said it either. I mean, that was my answer. There's so many times that I've went to him and said, "Dad, could I do this or do that?" He said, "No." Listen, I didn't leave and say, "I don't know." He didn't answer me. He did. He just didn't answer me like I wanted him to. So many times today we pray, and just because we don't get the answer that we was looking for, we say we didn't get an answer. We did. The answer might have been no. God answers the way He wants to. But Abraham had faith, and he said, "You go down there and you're going to get a wife from down there." He never had any doubt about it. The Bible said that Abraham had all this faith. And he said, my God is going to send an angel before you and go down there with you." And so this man took 10 camels and took all of Abraham's wealth. He had all these gold and silver and had it all. This Abraham trusted this man with everything that he had. How did he know he wasn't just going to leave and never come back? Well, if he had of Abraham, like I said, he was getting old, so riches didn't mean much to him anymore anyway, I suppose. But it was Isaac's. But Abraham knew that he could trust him to go and come back. Listen, can God trust you with anything that He has today? Can God trust you with things that He trusts you that you will use them properly and in the right manner, and you will stay with Him? So many times when God begins to bless people, they forget all about God and they don't want anything else to do with Him. But I want to tell you something. We need to labor for Him. We need to be true to Him. We need to let Him know that we love Him and we'll serve Him to our dying breath. And listen, He needs to be able to trust us and depend on us to do what He needs to get done. So this servant, he took 10 camels. That's a bunch of camels. Took took all of his silver and gold, and a few more servants went with him. And they went on their 400 to 600 mile journey to Mesopotamia. And this man, he's wondering, how in the world am I going to even know when I get there? There's got to be a lot of women there. How am I even going to know which one to even try to approach? How am I going to know which one God has selected? How am I going to realize which one it is that God wants to send back with me to be Isaac's bride? And I'm sure he had questions all the way down there. And he got there and he came up to the well and he put his camels down and he stood by the well. And a woman came to draw water. But now listen, before this woman came, the Bible said, and the servant was standing there by the well and he was praying. A little bit of Abraham apparently had rubbed off on him. He's no longer saying, what if she won't go? He's praying, which one is it that's going to go? Listen, how you handle yourself in a situation where you need to have faith, ever how you handle that situation has a lot to do with how people who see you are going to handle a situation. In other words, if you exercise faith in God, you can draw other people to exercise faith in God. If you have no faith in God, then they're going to realize that and they're going to say, well, they talk faith, but they don't really have faith. The McCameys sung that song, said it's easy to talk faith when you're up on the mountain. But then things change and you're down in the valley and faith don't come so easy now. It's easy when I got a pocket full of money and a tank full of gas and an automobile that's in pretty good running order and a nice house to live in. It's easy for me to say, oh, I got faith. But now you let things start going south and then you say, man, I don't know about God. I thought he would really love me. He does really love you. But I want to tell you something. That's when you've got nothing left but God, that's when you're going to find out how much you believe God. And this servant down here, and he's praying. Well, I don't know if he ever prayed before in his life, but he's praying now. And he said, his prayer was this: if a woman comes and will give me a drink of water and give my camels a drink of water, that's all he was asking. If she'll give my camels a drink, then that's the one that God sent. God, when God does something, he does it in a big way. He does. And the Bible said in the 14th verse, and let it come to pass, this is his prayer, that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. He said, if I ask this woman to let her pitcher down to me to drink, and she says, that's okay, and I'll give you camels a drink too. I want to tell you something in just a minute about camels. I'm not an expert on a camel. I've never ridden one. I've seen them at the zoo and things, but I've never even petted a camel. I mean, only thing I know about camels, and I'm not even sure about that, but I've always heard it, if you get close enough to them, they'll spit on you. And that's why I keep my distance from them, and I don't know much about them. I never wanted to ride a camel. I never wanted to be around a camel. I don't know nothing about camels. I know they're bigger than me, and if they step on my foot, it'd probably break it. That's what I know about camels. But I did do a little bit of research on camels just for this morning. But listen, this servant, he said, if I ask for a drink, she gives me a drink and says, I'll give you camels a drink. That's the one that God has selected for a wife for my master's son. And when she, in verse 19, he just barely got through praying when Rebekah came. And he asked her for a drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. Now, in other words, what she said is, I'm going to fill them up. I'm not just going to give them a sip of water. I'm going to give them water until they don't want any more water. I'm going to give them water until they're through drinking. Now listen, I want to tell you, that wasn't an easy thing to do. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher in the trough. Now, how big is a pitcher? I mean, I see pitchers, mostly you could carry one hand. They got a handle on them. You see them at restaurants, they pour my water in a glass out of a restaurant, out of a pitcher. Is that how big the pitcher was? Was it a gallon or 2 gallon container that maybe she had to carry in both hands? I don't know how big the pitcher was. I have no idea how big the pitcher was. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When she gave this servant a drink, she hasted and emptied the pitcher into the trough and ran again under the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Now she not only watered the servant, she ran to the well. Every time she emptied the pitcher into the trough, she ran back to the well and filled it up and ran back. And she did that until 10 camels were watered. How long did that take? Now, I imagine probably 2 or 3. I don't know how long. I don't know how far the well was from the trough. There's too many unknowns. But I'll tell you one thing that I did find out. It wasn't an easy job to water 10 thirsty camels. They may not have had a drink of water since they left Canaan. I found out that a camel can go up to 6 months sometimes without drinking water. I always heard they could go a long ways without drinking water, but what I read was they can go up to 6 months, maybe in the right kind of conditions. And I also read that a thirsty camel can drink 30 gallons of water in 13 minutes. 30 gallons of water. That means 10 camels would have drunk 300 gallons of water. And how big was the pitcher? I don't know. How many trips did she make to the well and back to the trough? I don't know. I know one thing though. God, this man said, the woman that'll water my camels, that's the one. God said, you watch this, buddy. I got woman here that's going to water your camels till they can't drink any more water. And she was running back and forth, and he was just standing there watching her and saying, God, you are real. I'm thankful today that God can do what God said. Listen, this little servant had not much faith when he left Canaan, but I'll tell you one thing, by the time those camels pulled their head out of that water and trough, he had all the faith that he needed.
Amen.
Man, I want to tell you something. There's something about faith. It moves God.
Amen.
Wow. And she filled this water trough. She ran and imagine she probably run, got a pitcher of water, dumped in the trough, run back and got another pitcher, come back and the trough was dry. And she probably poured that. I mean, hey, she couldn't fill the trough up. There's 10 camels drinking out of it. But she just kept going and kept going. Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. God will never let you down. God will never, ever in your life let you down. I've let him down a lot, but he never let me down. And he never will. The Bible said after this, the Bible said, and the damsel ran in verse number 28 and told them of her mother's house, the things that was done. Listen, it reminds me of another woman that I find in the book of John, chapter number 4. She also came to a well. She didn't run into 10 camels, but she ran into Jesus. And Jesus said, give me a drink. And she said, you asking me for a drink, and you're not even supposed to talk to me. And after they got through with their conversation, Jesus said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, you've spoken truly. You've had 5 or 6, and the one you got now is not yours. And she said, I believe you're the Messiah. And she left her water pot and went to the city and said, come see a man that has told me everything that I have ever done. This Rebecca left the well and she went. And she went to her family and she told them what that had happened up here at the well. Bible said in verse 30, and it came to pass when he saw the earring. Listen, after Rebecca had watered these camels. Let me get over here and find this verse in about verse number 31, I think, maybe. The Bible said after she had quit watering, and she quit watering those camels, the Bible said that this man, she said in verse number 25, and moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I being in the way of the Lord, led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now this is, listen, this is, this man, he said, God has not let me down because I am in the way of the Lord. And so he took from his little treasure bag, and he took earrings, and he took bracelets of gold, and he hung them on his sister, or on this lady that was there. He hung this gold and silver on Rebecca. And so she went and began to tell him at the house what had happened to her up there at the well. And the Bible said that in verse number 22, what I wanted to read, he said, and it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a gold earring and a half shekel of weight and two bracelets for her hands and 10 shekels of weight of gold. Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. The night that I came to Jesus and accepted Him as my Savior, when He came in, the blessings of God began to flow on me. And that same thing happened to Rebecca. She watered 10 camels. She didn't do it for money. She didn't do it for prizes. She didn't do it for gifts. She didn't do it for any reason except she was just a good old gal, I guess. And after she got through, this man reached into a purse and got all this gold and silver out and gave it to her. And she went running to tell what had happened. Listen, the Lord's blessings will flow on us if we will just trust Him. The Bible said in the 27th verse, and he said, this man, the servant, he said, and blessed he the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. Being in the way, listen, if you're in God's way, and I'm not talking about in His way, I'm talking about in the way of the Lord. Right. Now, a lot of people are in God's way. That ain't doing nobody no good. We don't need to be in His way. We just need to be in the way of Him. That makes a difference how you say that. And this man said, I'm in the way of God. I've come here because God told me to. I came here because my master told me that God was going to make me this a successful journey. I came here trusting in God. I came here trusting in Abraham, his God and his angel. And God has not let me down. He said he's not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I, being in the way of the Lord, led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now I want you to realize and notice in verse 27, he says that, he said here in this verse, he said, blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham. Now I want you to remember that because it's going to be important in a few minutes, I think. But he goes on in verse number 28 and said the damsel ran to her mother's house and showed them these things and told them these things. And then the Bible said in verse number 30, now listen, we're talking about Rebecca is Laban's brother. Now, you Bible readers, you know who Laban is. That was Jacob's father-in-law later on. And Jacob went down to Laban's house, you remember? And he said, Laban said, I know God blesses you. What will it take me to keep you here working for me? And he said, I'll work 7 years for Rachel to marry. So Laban said, okay. And Jacob worked 7 years, and Laban sneaked Leah into him. Remember that? And so then Jacob said, why have you done this? And he said, well, the firstborn ought to be married first. So I lied to you. Basically, that ain't what the Bible said, but that's the truth of the matter. And he said, but if you'll work 7 more years, I'll give you what you asked for the first 7 years. That's not exactly honest. Laban wasn't really a good person. Listen, this is years before that. And I wonder if Laban ain't already a shyster. The Bible said Rebecca went and told him in her house, her mother's house, what the things that she had seen and done. And the Bible said in verse number 30, and it came to pass when he saw Laban, when he saw the earrings and the bracelet upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man to me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. Now Laban, I don't know about this. This is kind of a questionable thing. Did Laban see the gold and silver and say, I got to get some of that? Now, seeing what he was when he was dealing with Jacob, and that leads me to believe that. But now let's give him his view. Maybe he wasn't like that yet. Maybe he was like Rebecca. Maybe he was a good old boy. I don't know. But the Bible said that when he saw what Rebecca got at the well, he took off to the well. Hey, if you come in here from somewhere, there's a spring not too far from here. You go over there, draw water, and come back with a bunch of gold and silver. I'm going to take me a bucket over there. Hey, I'm not anybody's fool. If you're getting gold and silver at the well, I'm going, you know. And I think that's what Laban was thinking. But listen, he went to the well, and he found the servant of God standing by the well, by the camels. Now listen what he said in verse 31. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. Brother Woody, in Sunday school this morning, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul the apostle said, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? The night that I got saved, and there's a denomination, probably more than one denomination, that says you get saved and then you pray for 5 or 10 or 15, 20 years, and then you get sanctified, and then you pray for another 5 or 10 years, and then you get the Holy Ghost. I'm not here to argue about denomination or put anybody down, but I want to tell you something. The night that I came and invited Jesus into my heart, I got the whole package.
That's right.
I got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I got sanctified by God's glory, and I got the Holy Ghost that very night. I went down to that altar without any Holy Ghost, but when I came up, I had the Holy Spirit in my heart and life.
Amen.
Now, Paul said, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And we do know that today, because Paul told us that. Our body is his temple. And he said, with the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. This is where a lot of people get messed up. They think that the Holy Ghost lives inside of them, but they still belong to their self. That's not so. That's not so. You cannot belong to you and belong to God. I hear people all the time, they say, well, I know I should do this and I should do that, but I'm not going to do this or that because I'm like Ford. I've got a better idea. And I think my idea works better than God's. I want to tell you something. You ain't never had a better idea that'll work more better than God's ideas. And God put His ideas in a book. And if we would go by what the book says and do everything in our power to try to live according to the book, you know something? We'd be so much better off. You know why there's no peace and joy in the world today? Not no whole lot of peace and joy in the churches anymore, seem like. But you know something? In order to have peace and joy and the blessings of God, we have to be walking in Jesus' footprints. When He picks His foot up, I want to set mine down where He picked His up from. We have to be following Him in order to have what He said we're going to have. And so many times we read what the book says and we say, well, let's see, now I like this, I'll do that. I don't like this. And you know something, I thought one time about getting one of them old worthless books that they call a Bible and just tear pages out of it. You know, that's what people do. They say, I don't like this page, and just tear it out and throw it away and mark through it, or take, as the king did over in the book of Jeremiah, take a pen knife and cut out what you don't want. When he got done, he didn't have nothing left. He'd throw every bit of it in the fire. And that's the way so many times people do today. And you know what? They do that and then they stand up and say, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you're not. I was talking to somebody yesterday. It's kind of funny. Sitting at a table with two people. One's a man, one's a woman. And the man said, I don't understand why people from the South, as hot as it is here, don't get saved to miss hell. Well, I don't either. I mean, hey, I can agree with that statement. And the woman hearing this didn't say a word, just got up and walked off from the table. I guess she didn't want to hear it. So me and the man sitting here, and I said to him, what I don't understand is how people that say they're saved and they're Christians and they never go to church. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together in the manner as some is. And the Bible also says, bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. And the Bible also says a whole lot of other things that people refuse to do. And I said, if a person isn't going to church and trying to worship and serve God, then they cannot carry out anything else that the Bible says. He didn't say a word. He just got up and walked off. I thought, that's weird. That's the same thing she did when she didn't want to hear him. Listen, people, they want you to think they're saved, but I'm going to tell you something. Your life will speak louder than your language. People say, oh, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I don't even know if you believe that or not. I certainly don't in a lot of cases. I'm not a judge. Preacher, you can't judge me. No, you're judging your own self. I'm just looking at you. I don't have to judge you. But listen, so many times we forget that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost and which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. That means I belong to God. I do what He says. I've seen puppet shows. I know I never could put one on. I got enough sense to know that. They got all these strings attached to a stick and to a little puppet, and they can turn that thing, make it raise one arm and the other arm. I'd be pulling the whole puppet up and down, I know. But what I'm saying is the puppet is in the hand of the puppeteer. I guess that's what they call them. It does what the person pulling the strings does. Well, that's the way we need to be with God. When He pulls our strings, we need to do what He indicates for us to do. Because Paul said, you're not your own anymore. And he went on and said, you're bought with a price. And that price was paid on Calvary. But listen, in Revelation chapter number 3, let me go back up here and read what Laban said. He said in verse number 31 of Genesis chapter 24, and he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? I have prepared the house." Now in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he goes on and says, "And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and him with me." Now Jesus said, "I'm standing outside knocking. And I'm waiting for somebody to open the door and let me in." Well, here's Laban back over here in the 24th chapter of Genesis. In this 31st verse, he said, "Come in. Come in. What are you doing standing out here? Because I prepared the house." If you want Jesus to come into your life and into your heart, you're going to have to prepare your heart to receive Him. How can I do that, preacher? Well, you've got to have faith that He's going to save you. The next thing that you need to do is you got to realize that once you're saved, you don't belong to you. And if you can't realize that, listen, there's some, and I know, and I don't preach you're saved by works. I don't preach that. I don't believe that. The Bible teaches against that kind of preaching and teaching. I know a lot of people that think that. But I want to tell you something. The Bible is real plain when it said we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace through faith and not by works, lest any man should boast. But it's the gift of God. I understand that. But I want to tell you something. God is not going to come in until you're ready to give up the world. Laban said, "Why are you doing standing out here? I've prepared the house. Come on in." That's what I did when Jesus came to me. I said, "What are you doing standing out there knocking? I prepared my house. Come on in." Listen, I'm glad today that Jesus will come into your heart if you will just allow Him to do so. I wonder today, and I'm done this morning, but I'm not near done, but I'm going to quit. Hopefully, Lord, let me come back over here tonight. I don't know. I'm not one that can preach wherever I want to. I'm not that smart. I have to preach what God tells me. But you pray real hard and maybe we get to finish this tonight. But listen, Layton, we've got Rebecca. And she is willing to go with this man somewhere she's never been before. I'm glad that when Jesus came to me and He gave the invitation, I was ready to go with Him somewhere I've never been before. Never been before. And I'm so glad I did. Because I want to tell you something. I'm glad that I learned to trust in Jesus. And I'm glad that I know that if I walk with Him, He'll walk with me. If I talk with Him, He'll talk with me. You say, "Preacher, the Lord don't ever talk to me." You ever talk to Him? He don't ever talk to me. Do you ever listen to Him? You know what our problem is? A lot of times we're doing all the talking and we're not willing to listen. You know how a conversation goes? I talk a little bit and then I shut up and let you talk a little bit. If I do all the talking, we're not having a conversation. And that's the way a lot of people are with the Lord. We're so busy telling Him, we won't stop long enough for Him to tell us. This man, this servant of Abraham, he went down and found Rebecca. He didn't find her. God sent her to him. And God sent her to him in big fashion. He said, "If they'll just give my camels a drink." She said, "I'm going to let them drink till they get done drinking." Listen, God always goes above and beyond and overboard for us. And I'm so grateful for that this morning. I want them to come get a song this morning. I tell you, hardest thing in the world for me to do is quit. But I have to this morning. I'm not going to hold your attention much longer if I don't. May have done lost it. But while they come get a song this morning, I wonder, do you trust God? Do you trust Him enough to... This journey that God has picked out for me. The song we sung a while ago said, "Too many sunsets lie behind the mountains. Oh, there's been times in my life that I've thought about quitting. There's been times in my life that I've thought I can't go any farther. I just can't do this anymore. I remember one such time, and I won't bore you with all the details, but I came out of work years ago, and I had decided in my mind, not in my heart. See, that's the difference. Our decisions for Jesus has to be in our heart, not in our mind. You're not saved in your mind. If you lost your mind, you'd lose your salvation. My salvation is in my heart. I came out and I had it in my mind, I'm not ever going to church again. God don't love me, don't care nothing about me, and I'm done with it. Devil do you like that? You better be careful. I got in my car, stuck the key in the ignition. I had no idea I'd even left the radio on. I turned the ignition switch, and the first thing I heard was that old song they just had started singing. I mean, when I turned the switch, they said, "I've come too far to look back."
Amen.
God got a hold of me there. Listen, I've come too far. I've been on this journey a long time. I've crossed a lot of deserts. I've crossed a lot of mountains. I've crossed a lot of streams. And I want to tell you something. It's closer to where I'm going than where I've been. And I'm not, by the grace of God, I'm never turning back. I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for standing with us this morning, Father. Lord, I thank you for the message. God, I ask you, Lord, just to take this message and put it in the hearts of the people. God, cause us to realize that not only do you love us, not only did you die for us on Calvary, but Lord, you care about us enough to answer our prayers. Lord, I ask you, Father, this morning, if there's one here that's lost, God, they might come and realize that you still have saving grace. Lord, deal with hearts here today. Lord, if somebody's just about to lay it down, God, help them to realize by faith that through grace they can carry on. Be with us this morning, Lord, in the invitation song. God, touch every heart in this place in some way. In Jesus' name, amen. While we stand this morning, while we sing.
Church hymn number 354. 354.